half man, half spider, half mouse?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke with news of a blockbuster deal. The Walt Disney Company announced this morning it's buying comic book legend Marvel Entertainment for $4 billion in cash and stock. On the line is Ken Wilber, marketing professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Ken, let's get this out of the way. Spidey snared in Mickey's web. It's a hulking deal. Got any more?
The hammer of Thor is coming down on the industry.
Very good. Thank you. What is in this for both companies?
Well, for Marvel, there's a lot of money in it. If you look at their stock price, this is a very healthy premium that Disney is paying. It's about 25% over what the market price on Marvel stock was yesterday afternoon.
And the stock has, of course, jumped.
Yeah, quite a lot.
What about for Disney?
For Disney, first reaction is they're locking in stories and character rights for their many movie studios, right? Second reaction, as you think about it a little more, you could see a strategic shift at Disney. I think what this allows them to do is sell to kids as they get older, maybe kids who aren't necessarily watching the Disney Channel.
Right. Disney's latest claims to fame have been Hannah Montana, Jonas Brothers.
Right.
What are some of Marvel's properties?
Well, some of their most popular movie franchises so far have been Spider-Man and X-Men. Thor is coming out next year, and Captain America is moving forward, and we're going to see that in the not-too-distant future.
Why haven't these companies come together sooner, if it's such a great idea?
My best guess is that it took Disney a while to recognize that they needed to pay this premium for Marvel. I mean, they're really giving up a lot of money in the deal over the market price for Marvel Comics.
Will this pass an antitrust review?
You know, I think if you look at this from a traditional antitrust perspective, you're not going to see any major reasons to flag this deal. Marvel and Disney, for the most part, don't overlap in their core markets.
Ken Wilber is marketing professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks for having me.
Will Marvel shareholders approve the deal? Well, as we said, Marvel stock is up about 25% this morning. Disney shares are down around 3%. And the rest of Wall Street? The S&P 500 and NASDAQ are down more than 1%. The Dow is off 85 points at 9,459. European markets were mostly lower today, as were Asian stocks, especially in Shanghai. When the Federal Reserve injected hundreds of billions of dollars of crisis loans into the banking system, the goal was not to make a profit. But it turns out some of those loans are paying off rather nicely, as Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports.
The central bank took in $14 billion in profits from emergency loans it made over the past 2 years. The loans were part of the Fed's effort to inject cash into the banking system when the mortgage crisis caused short-term lending to grind to a halt. The Financial Times says the interest and fees the Fed collected on those loans far exceeds what it would have made investing that same money in U.S. Treasury bills. But Standard & Poor's chief economist David Weiss says don't expect a government windfall.
This is only part of the bailout effort, and it was the part that was always likely to be profitable, because as long as the bank survived, you were going to get the money back with a profit.
Weiss says the Fed may not have it so easy when it comes to the rest of the bailout. Many of the banks it helped are still laden with toxic loans. And then there's insurance giant AIG. It received nearly $200 billion in government funds, and its survival is still in question. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
General Motors is in final talks to sell its Hummer brand to a heavy equipment maker in southwest China. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman wonders, how different will a Chinese Hummer look?
Not much, at least at first. Hummer would be owned by the Chinese, but the hulking SUVs would still be made in the U.S., saving about 3,000 autoworker jobs. Analyst George Magliano at IHS Global Insight says the Chinese are muscling into the U.S. auto industry for one simple reason.
American technology.
Magliano says the Chinese are on a crash course in car making so they can feed their exploding market and take on the world.
Companies in China get into the auto business left and right. They're looking to buy their way in and buy the expertise.
The change in ownership won't make much difference to Ray Sokolo either. He owns a Hummer dealership in suburban Boston. He says sales are down from their heyday, but as long as someone's making and marketing Hummers, he'll have buyers.
A customer that does an awful lot of off-road driving. The other is a customer that just wants to drive something different.
And doesn't mind driving around more than 6,000 pounds of steel that gets about 12 miles to the gallon. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The U.S. Open is underway in New York. Roger Federer and Serena Williams coming up later today. The cheapest tickets run around $20. If you're interested in a luxury box, well, you're one of the few. Reporter Sally Herships has more.
Typically, the best seats at the U.S. Open, you know, the ones in luxury boxes and courtside, are long gone by July, snapped up by big corporate sponsors looking to entertain clients. Not so this year. Chris Widmeyer works for the U.S. Tennis Association. He says,
we literally signed two last sponsorships in the last week leading into the U.S. Open.
Robert Tuckman plans events for Fortune 500 companies. He says there's still a lot of pressure on companies to avoid luxury.
Unfortunately, because of the fear of being, you know, called out, they've held back from spending funds on these different events.
Those who are buying less. J.P. Morgan Chase is one of the few Wall Street firms that's a sponsor, but it took a luxury box for 1 week this year, not two. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, a British trade magazine reports the karaoke craze may be waning. Pubs there are once again investing in pool tables and dartboards and even jukeboxes. Some pub owners say the boom in home computer games, like Rock Band, means that you no longer have to leave the house to be terrible. One person who will not suffer from this this trend, the waning of karaoke, is the Japanese musician who invented the karaoke machine. See, he never patented his invention, a decision that is said to have cost him more than $100 million. Sweet Caroline, that's a lot of money. I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.